Welcome to The Record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. We're going to go to a place that was the Wild West for bike shares, Dallas, Texas, but they're changing things around a little bit, and Seattle's considering some changes too, so we'll find out about that. First, our top story this hour, gun rights groups are suing the city of Seattle over Seattle's new law requiring gun owners to lock up firearms. The National Rifle Association, Bellevue's Second Amendment Foundation, and two Seattle residents are behind this lawsuit challenging the city's gun storage law. Mayor Durkan proposed and signed the legislation earlier this month. If you don't properly secure your stored firearm, then under this law, you could face fines from $500 up to $10,000. We're joined now by Robert Spitzer, Distinguished Service Professor at the State University of New York, Cortland, and author of five books on gun policy, most recently, The Politics of Gun Control. Welcome, Robert.
Good to be with you.
You are a member of both the NRA and the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, which to some of us has come to sound like maybe a contradiction. Would you explain?
Well, yeah, I'm a member of both organizations and have been for many years, and there are two reasons why. One is because I study gun policy, and it's helpful for me as an academic to see how these organizations operate from the inside as an average member. And the other thing is that it freaks out my students. It confuses them. Uh-huh. And anything that confuses them is good.
Yes. You want a student off balance. As I think it's
That's
good to
right.
be off balance in general in life. Okay. So we spoke to this gun rights group, the Second Amendment Foundation, based near Seattle here in Bellevue. And they told us that obviously they're not against gun safety, but there is a Washington state law that says that cities cannot regulate guns. So how could Seattle's law be permissible?
Well, there are two elements to the legal question. One is sort of the background standard set by the Supreme Court back in 2008 in its D.C. versus Heller decision. That was the court case that established a personal right for people, average people, to have a handgun for their own self-protection in their home. And in that decision, it set out that right, but it also provided a list of other kinds of laws that would be allowable under the Heller standard, and one of them was laws regarding safe storage of guns, of firearms. And so, just as a general matter in terms of Second Amendment rights, it's pretty clear that laws pertaining to safe storage are allowable.
Okay, now, so separate from the Washington state law, you're saying the NRA has not had good success in knocking down safe storage laws.
Well, in terms of the Second Amendment, that's right. Yeah. And in terms of other kinds of laws, too, the vast majority of legal challenges to all kinds of gun laws have failed from 2008 up to the present. Mm-hmm. But the other question, of course, is Washington State's preemption law, which says that localities may not enact gun regulations stricter than the state standard. And that preemption laws are pretty strong in these kinds of areas. However, the subject of safe storage is not among the listed categories of gun-related prohibitions or gun-related laws that the preemption law prohibits to localities. There is some more general language that suggests maybe localities couldn't do that either, but that is at least an open question in terms of litigation. And as you know, in 2010, Seattle passed a law barring guns from parks that was struck down by state court as a violation of preemption, but in 2017, a state court upheld Seattle's local tax on firearms, and a tax is a government regulation too. So it's a bit of an open question which way it will go.
Right. When that tax came out last year, opponents had argued that's, as you say, a kind of regulation. Cities can't do that. And the Washington State Supreme Court said that Seattle tax was okay. So on balance, any take on this Seattle law on requiring people to lock up their firearms? Do you think you see where this lawsuit is going?
I think the likelihood that the law will be struck down ultimately is more likely than it would be upheld. But there is a viable argument I think you can make on behalf of the law. And it's always a hazardous business to try and predict what courts will do. Mm-hmm. But just based on the nature of preemption laws and remembering that local governments of all varieties are legal creatures of the states wherein they reside. It gives states a great deal of legal discretion to enact preemption-type laws, so I think the advantage is with the opponents of the law. But we'll see what the courts say.
And I suppose if the legislature were feeling enough heat, then the legislature could change the state law. All that is a ways down the road. Go on.
Yes, the legislature could absolutely intervene and alter the legal framework if it chose.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the topic of the locking of a gun? You know, some of the plaintiffs in this case say, well, I keep my gun unlocked because I want it to be ready to repel an intruder at a moment's notice. And we have technology evolving all this time. So can a gun be safe and effective in an emergency?
Well, it can be under the right circumstances, but virtually all gun owners, responsible gun owners, understand that guns are dangerous and that they should be kept locked up, that ammunition should be kept in a separate location, that the gun should be unloaded. Now, that does mean that you don't have ready access to it. It's not sitting loaded on your coffee table, although maybe some people do that. It's not a good idea for the simple and obvious reason that a gun that is available, that is not locked up, is available to be stolen, to be absconded with by a child, to be grabbed by a despondent, suicidal teenager. It can be subject to all kinds of adverse consequences that we know statistically outweigh the likelihood that a gun would actually be used successfully to defend yourself in the home. So the risks, without question, there have been many, many studies about this, the risks far outweigh the benefits of just having a gun around the house, available, accessible, loaded, and not locked.
And what about the fines associated with this Seattle law? So the legislation would allow a fine up to $500 just for a gun not being locked up when it's stored, up to $1,000 if a prohibited person gets a hold of a firearm, and fines up to $10,000 when a prohibited person uses that weapon to hurt somebody or uses it to commit a crime. Is there any particular controversy over linking violations with those kind of fines?
Well, of course, the fines are the stick element of the law. It's the penalty. If a law doesn't have a penalty element to it, what's the incentive of people to follow the law? And those dollar numbers are not, I think you could reasonably argue that the dollar numbers are not out of line with the kind of fine that might be imposed for other kinds of legal violations, especially if the gun winds up being used in a crime. You know, somebody kills another person, it winds up in being involved in a suicide or other sorts of things. So the dollar amounts attached to the law do not seem excessive.
And finally, Robert, we have this ongoing decades-long story of gun control measures being proposed, and then there's a fight in the court of public opinion and legal fights. You know, we have a big reaction after a shooting, of course. What do you have any thoughts on what the bigger picture is here? You yourself embody a balance of someone who's a member of the NRA and also a member of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Do you have any insight into where this long debate is headed in the states?
Well, that's a good question. We have seen a lot more action in the states, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, states enacting all kinds of new laws, both states enacting tougher laws like Washington State and others, and also states going in the other direction, more conservative states enacting laws, making it easier to have guns and to get guns. The thing is, the long-term trend is against greater gun ownership, simply because if you look at the overall numbers and graph them going back 30, 40, 50 years, fewer and fewer Americans own guns and are interested in guns. It's just not an activity, a habit, a tradition that is being very much passed along from one generation to another. So the long-term trend is one of less gun ownership and not more gun ownership, although the average gun owner owns a much larger average of guns than was true, let's say, 40 or 50 years ago. So that at least is the broad outline of where things seem to be heading down the road.
This is Robert Spitzer, Distinguished Service Professor at the State University of New York, Cortland, and he's written 5 books on gun policy, most recently called The Politics of Gun Control, which is some of what we're talking about here, with some gun rights groups suing the city of Seattle over its new law requiring gun owners to lock up firearms. Professor Spitzer, it's good to talk with you. Thank you for this.
Yeah, I enjoyed speaking with you.